Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. The Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice
and to be glad in it. You have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is now on the air. We have the Word of God for you today, the Word that will change your life, that Word that will give you that ever-increasing faith. Come on, let's get ready as we go before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in prayer. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. Father, we thank you for the great, for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, God, for the great and mighty things, God, that you are about to do according to your word. Lord, let the words of our mouth, meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Father, we just thank you, God, for the hearers and the doers of your word. Well, this morning we're going to begin with verse 6 and 7. And it says, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Elah and said, Surely the Lord's anointing is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." If I would use as a topic on today, I would use, don't allow Satan to count you out. God has a plan for you. When we begin to look at 1 Samuel, that 16th chapter, we see that God has a plan for his man. And that man is in the name of David. Well, when we look before in the previous chapters, we see that the people have wanted a king to be king over them. They had refused God, and they wanted somebody that they can feel, they can touch, somebody that they can go to and talk to verbally, face-to-face, or somebody that they could know that was there. So they decided that they wanted a king. In reality, they were rejecting Jesus himself. They were rejecting the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So it was at that point that God had anointed, had the man of God, Samuel, to anoint Saul to be king over the people and to let them have the king that they wanted. So when we look in the Word of God, and as you said in the Word of God, we see that there were times when Saul did not obey God. Saul got out of line with God. Saul did things that was displeasing unto God. Well, when we look at the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, we see that God had sent Samuel, the man of God, the prophet of God, to a household, and that household was the household of Jesse. And he sent him there to anoint the king that he had chosen to be the king over his people. And as we began to look and take a closer look at God, at how God moves, how God does things, and how God presented himself through Saul, through Samuel, to choose a king. He didn't leave it up to, he didn't leave it to the prophet Samuel to choose it, the person, but he was using him to go as his mouthpiece, and he was going to let him know who it was that was going to be Cain. Now, isn't it an awesome thing that God is the one that sets up, and God is the one that he will lift you up, and he's all the one that would set you down. And God sent the prophet Samuel to Jesse's house. And if we look at in previous verses, it let us know that Samuel had began to, he wanted Jesse to call his son. Because he wanted to see Jesse, who is the father. He wanted to see his son. This was the home of Jesse. And the word of God tells us, again, because I need you to understand, I need you to see what God is saying to the man of God, and what he is saying to the people of God, because I believe that we need to pay special attention to what God is saying to his people, even as he was speaking unto Samuel. And the word of God said, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. Well, Samuel thought that that first son that came before him was the son that God was going to be pleased with, was the son that God was going to choose to be king. Oh, I can imagine this man being tall and this man being very, very handsome, and this man looked like he was king material. But then the Lord said to Samuel, in that seventh verse, that is what it was all about here, when God began to let him know about what he was about to do. And don't look at this, don't look at his outward appearance. It reads in that seventh verse, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance. Don't be looking on the outside of him or on the height of his stature. You know what I mean, because a lot of people, they looking at if they were going to choose a husband, if they were going to choose somebody that they really like, they want him tall, somebody say dark, somebody say handsome, somebody say, well, if they didn't want a dark, they want him with certain different qualities that will make him look like they wanted him to look. So God telling them, don't look at the countenance or his height or his stature, because I have refused him. No, this is, in other words, this is not the one that I have chosen. For the Lord seeth, not as man seeth, for man look on the outward appearance, but the Lord look on the heart. In other words, this is not the king. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen thee. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. Well, we see that Jesse was supposed to bring all of his sons. But he didn't feel that David was the person that Samuel was looking for. He was the keeper of the sheep. He was the one that was the youngest. And with that, most likely, because he specified that he was out, he was a keeper of the sheep. So, and he was the youngest, so he didn't even bring him in. But all of the other sons of Jesse that seemed like they were the one, God rejected them for being Cain because they were not God chosen one to be the king of over his people. So when we look at the word of God, when we look at God, ladies and gentlemen, we see that man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he looks on the heart. And see, if it wasn't by the anointing of God, see, many times, many men and many women have been chosen, but they wasn't chosen by God. They were chosen because they look right, they dress right, they spoke correctly. And yet, if someone else would have, if God would have chosen them, if God would have seen them, and he sees everything, most likely they may have not been chosen. But God knew who had his heart. God knew who was spending time with the sheep. And you know, you may think, well, spending time with the sheep. Well, David was a shepherd boy. He spent time with the sheep. And I got to say, because of the fact, you say, well, what does that mean? He spent time. He took care of the sheep. He kept the sheep from the wolves, from the devourers that would come and try to devour them or take them out from the rest of the sheep. He loved the sheep. He knew how to treat the sheep. He knew how the sheep thought. He knew what the sheep needed. And he had the heart of God. So therefore, when they called David, the word of God said, when they sent for him, it tells us how David looked, how he appeared. And that's 12th verse. He was ruddy and with of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise. Anoint him, for this is he. And all the rest of Jesse's sons that looked like they would be king, that was not God chosen. It was not God chosen man to be the king. So God told the prophet Samuel to arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went unto Ramah. And then we see later the same king, Saul, who was first king, who God had, and allow him to be the king over the people, the king that the people wanted, because he looked like a king, because he had those features like a king. It wasn't that David wasn't handsome, because he was. It wasn't that he didn't have the qualities to be king, because he did. But it takes so much more for us to come to for us to be chosen by God. It's not always the way that we are dressed. It's not how eloquent we may speak. But David had the heart of God. And because he cared for his sheep as well, as I said before, he'll know and he knew how to care for the people of God. He would have that love for God. And God had seen his heart, just like God sees your heart. When there are people that may have tried to count you out and tried to not, and the enemy, the Bible said the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus Christ came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. We got to know that when the enemy have tried to count you out, because if the enemy would have had a way, then David would have been still back there taking care of those sheep. It didn't mean that David immediately left, because he didn't. He continually to take care of those sheep until God appointed time for him to be king. Remember, Saul was still king. But Saul was still having some problems with him being king, and he was having some issues. Saul had displeased God, so therefore we know that he was not going to remain king. So that's why God has sent Samuel there in order to anoint him to be king, anoint David to be king. Well, there was a time when Saul had an evil spirit that came upon him. And that evil spirit came upon Saul. That evil spirit came from God. That was the word of God tells us, that it came from God. God sent that spirit upon Saul. And don't tell me God won't make a way for you. Don't tell me that God will not use you, even when it looks like God will, when it looks like those things are not happening, when it looks like things are impossible, and when you can't even figure it out your own self. Don't tell me that God won't do what he feels that will be best for you, but he'll do it at that time, and he'll do it in the place, and he'll use whoever he wants to use. He'll take one, he'll put one up, take one down, because especially when that person is not obedient to the things of God. And we see that Saul had his spirit, had his evil spirit that came upon him. And the word tells us that the evil spirit that troubled Saul, it came from God. So it was told Saul that he needed, in other words, a cunning player. Well, David was a player. He played the harp. He played, and it was an art to him. It's something that he did very well. So, therefore, somebody remember David as being this young man that was a cunning player and that played the harp. So they suggested to the king, Saul, who was king at that time, to get David to come and to play for him and to soothe that savage beast, to soothe that spirit that comes over Saul. He had an evil spirit that come over him. And the word says, read it for yourself, that it came from God. Don't tell me that God wasn't setting David up to be blessed. So they sent for David to come. They sent for him to before the king to be able to play his harp before King Saul.
And King Saul, he enjoyed the playing of David because it sent away that evil spirit that came upon him at different times. So he wanted David to be there in order for him to play when he needed. So he sent a word to his father, Jesse, asking him and petitioning him to let David, you know, play for him. I say it's a setup. God has set you up. When the enemy comes and try to take that which belongs to you, that which God has given you, God, that which God has for you, you got to know that what God has for you, it is for you. And you cannot allow Satan to count you out because God has a plan for you. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If man in his own carnal mind was looking for a king, most likely, most definitely, they would not have chosen David. Because most likely a man that's taking care of sheep, they're not dressed in fine apparel. And they may even be a little smelly because of the fact that they've been with the sheep. They've been taking care of the sheep. And if you're taking care of sheep and you're holding sheep and you're sitting on the ground with them and you're there loving on them and taking care of them, well, most likely they're not going to be looking at you. I'm talking about the heart of man. I'm not talking about the heart of God. Because God seen the heart of David. And he knew, I believe, from the foundation of the world. I believe, even when David went in his mother's womb, that he was going to be used by God. But God set him up. And God knew that this young man was going to be the young man that I'm going to use to rule over my people. And I thank God because we got to know that when things look like it is over, when things look like it's done with, when things look like it's not going to happen, when things look like it's in a sad state, when it seems look like that you may be in doing something and you don't even like what you're doing, and you really think that there have been many people that on jobs that they don't even like what they do, and they don't like what they're doing, and they don't like where they are. And they think, you know what, I'm going to have to be on this job for the rest of my life. It looks like I'm going to have to tolerate the supervisor for the rest of my life. It looks like I'm going to have to tolerate this manager or whoever it may be or whatever it is. But you got to know that God, he is, even as he took, eventually, David out from feeding the sheep and taking care of the sheep and had the man of God even before he became presented to the people, he anointed him. And some of you have been anointed by God. Some of you God have anointed. Some of you that God have called to do a work for him. Some of you God have chosen to be that man, that woman of God, to bring forth his word. Some of you, God wants you in the upbuilding of this kingdom and for tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. But you have to know and you have to realize and you have to say within your heart that you're not going to allow Satan to count you out. And that is the feeling of many people today because of the fact that they have allowed Satan, they allowed man, and I'm not calling man Satan, but I am calling it what it is. I'm calling the action of Satan that he goes to and fro, and he tried to cause people to think that they are not going to succeed in whatever they're doing, but that the enemy will try to rob them and count them out as to what the plan that God has for them. Look at what God did for the man of God. Don't you know that David was a man after God's own heart? Don't you know that this young boy, God wanted to use to do a work for him, because he knew the qualities, he knew how he think, he knew that he would be somebody that will fight for his people, that would stand up for him. He knew that they would be one that would be obedient most of all to him. And that's what one of the things that Saul, he could not, it was hard for Saul to obey God. Thank God, and it's an honor for him to have been king. It was an honor for him to be chosen, number one, to be king. But sometimes when God chooses people, or when man put people up, and I know that God allowed this man, Saul, at first to be king because the people wanted him. In other words, I said before, they was actually rejecting God because they wanted somebody they could touch and feel and talk to. But yet, this man didn't really out the heart of God. When you keep doing things that God tells you not to do, and you keep lying, and you keep doing things that God has not instructed you to do, and then you don't obey God like Saul did when he told Saul to go and to kill these sect of people. And Saul and killed everything when he had sent Saul out to do this, because he was the leader, he was responsible, he was a man that God was counting on to do what he asked for him to do. He was the one that, not the people, but he was the one that God had assigned for this assignment. But yet he went. But he kept everything, thought that that some of the things that the people may want, and he also the kings he didn't kill, and he kept some of the best stuff, and then he lied and said that it was the people. But when God had made him the leader, when God had allowed him to be the king, and it was certain things that he did that God was not pleased with him. So it came a time when God was going to remove him from being the king. And that's why he had sent Samuel to anoint David to be king. The anointing was going to be there. The anointing. His life, when Samuel anointed him, his life began to change. His life, when God put anointed upon you, your life began to change. You're not going to be the same person. You know, when God has called you, when he's anointed you, you're going to be led by God. And when you don't, then God will take you from the place where you were, and he'll put another person in your place. So we see here today that don't let what people say, or don't let people count you out. Don't let the enemy count you out from doing the work of God. God has great work for you. God has great work for his people to do. Everybody has not been called to do the same thing. Some people God have made apostles, some are not. Some God has made a prophet, a prophetess. Some is not. Some God have called to be evangelists, and some don't have that evangelistic type of ministry. They don't understand what evangelism is all about, and they don't understand the passion that evangelists have. Some of God has made pastors that care for the sheep, like David too was. Some don't have that mentality, because a lot of times when David was actually, he has spent a lot of time with the sheep, and a pastor has to spend a lot of time with the sheep, because they're nourishing them, they're putting bandages on them, when they're in trouble, they're seeing about them. There are so many things that goes on with that sheep. So therefore, hey, everybody is not a pastor. And then the teacher. Everybody have not been given the gift of teaching. So therefore, God has given all of us a different gift, different calling for the edifying of the body of Christ. But we must do it for God's glory and for God's honor. We must do it in the excellency of his spirit. And, you know, you may not even be a part of the fivefold ministry, but you are a child of God. You know, you could be a doorkeeper. You could be administration. There's so many things that you can be for the upbuilding of the kingdom, for the tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. There are deacons, there are deacon asses. There are so many things. There are people that are working within the body of Christ. There are people, there are soul winners, there are ambassadors, there are fishers of men. There are so many things that God has called all of us to do. So what I'm saying to you this morning, don't let the enemy, don't let Satan count you out. Many times, if the enemy had his way, he would count all of us out, because he don't want you to see what God has for you. And then sometimes people, God has many things, and God has given people giftings and special anointings, but they don't rise to the occasion, and they'll sit back and they'll say, that's not me, I can't do it. That is not what God want to hear. God want to hear, like the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. And we can. It's not that we can't, because we can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. And that's the way that the enemy will try to come in, and the enemy will try to talk you out of your blessing, and the enemy will try to talk you out of what God want you to do. So that's a form of Satan. He'll try to count you out. And then sometimes the enemy will tell you, I can't do that. I don't know how to do this. You know, I'm not this. I'm not that. But what did God say you are? When David was sitting on the backside of out there in the field taking care of those sheep, it didn't look like David was going to be a king. Come on. It didn't look like he was going to be a king. But what God has for you, ladies and gentlemen, what God has for you, it is for you. It is yours. It's yours for the taking. It's yours for the asking. Don't back down. Don't refuse. Don't back down. Don't back up. Stand your ground. Your gift will make room for you. And your gift will bring you before great men. And that is what happened to David. The gifting the things that he had. The God, number one, had chosen him. When God chooses you, nobody gonna take you. It's nobody but the enemy gonna take what God has given you. Nobody gonna be able to take it. When I began to think about, I'm kind of talking to you by the wayside this morning, but I began to think about, you know, I began to be a man of God. I began to think about how the man of God, when God had called him in the book of Exodus, how God called Moses, and he began to tell God all these things. He said, I can't talk, I can't speak well, you know, and nobody's going to listen to me. And, you know, don't that sound very familiar to you? And I'm so glad that God allowed that to be in the Word of God, because it let us know exactly where we are and how sometimes we put limits on our own self. But what God, I say again, what God has for you, it is for you. At this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you. And God, we're just so thankful for you being God. And we thank you, Father, for you being God all by yourself. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords. And God, you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. And Father God, you are the first and the last, and you are the true and living God. We truly thank you, Father, for being our Father, for our Father which art in heaven, for giving us this day and this hour, God, for looking upon us. And God, not demeaning us, God, but God raising us up and putting the gifts inside of us, God. And God, calling us, even when we don't feel worthy of ourselves, yet, God, you allow us to be able, Father God, to do great and mighty things for you. And Father God, even Father God, those that are, Father God, that live, Father God, in different states, and God, those that are on foreign ground, and God, those that are in the United States of America, and God, those that are from city to city and state to state, God, those in our neighborhoods, Lord God, those in our community, Father, I pray even now that you would touch them, and God, that you would use them, Father God, for the upbuilding of that kingdom and for tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. I pray, God, that your anointing, God, would be upon them. I pray, God, even now, God, as we pray, God, that the anointing would go out through the radio air, and God, that you would touch those people that are hiding, and God, those people, Father God, that's in the background, and God, those people that don't feel worthy, and those people, Father God, that the enemy, Father God, Satan has spoken to, it's like he has spoken, Father God, to many and tried to make them feel that they're not capable of doing certain things. And Father, I pray even now, God, that you would touch them, and God, that you would give them that ever-increasing faith, and God, that their lives, God, would be changed on the day, and God, let the brightness of your word, God, Lord, let the anointing of your word, God, in the name of Jesus, God, upon them, let that God come upon them, Father, God, that they can be able, God, to do what you call them to do, God, that souls will be saved, and God, that lives will be changed. And Father, we just thank men and women, boys and girls, God, use them, Father, for your glory and for your honor. And God, let no man, no woman take your glory. No man, no woman, no child take your glory, Father, because God, I give your glory unto others. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, have your way today in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, we want to thank God for the word today. And we would like to thank you for tuning in once again to the Hour of Power broadcast from the Word of Faith, Praise, and Worship Center. And the pastor, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, come join us every Sunday at 11 a.m. at 5045 Tootell Drive here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. May the Lord bless and keep you. May his face shine upon you each and every day is our prayer.